Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Brewer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. 2 hours from now, we have a special in-studio guest for Boomer Esiason. You're going to want you to get nervous. You're going to like it. It's going to be a good thing, but it is a surprise special in-studio guest this morning. And I'm very excited to see your reaction when this person shows up. All right. Tomorrow night, the NFL draft is finally here. We've been talking about it for months and months and months. And the biggest intrigue locally is the Giants and the idea that they're going to trade up to get a quarterback and be done with Daniel Jones. Now, that report from Rich Eisen came out from around the combine where he said on his show that the Giants were done with Daniel Jones. So I think we both sort of believe that. If Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are going to get their hands on one of their guys to develop them, this is now year three of their regime. It's going to have to happen soon. So I do think that they're going to push to trade up to get a quarterback. But the latest is that Jordan Renan of ESPN, who covers the Giants, and he is not just some dude who's throwing stuff against the wall to see if it sticks. I mean, this guy is one of the top beat writers for the Giants, said that they are now targeting or are interested in trading up to get Drake May. We had talked about the J.J. McCarthy possibility, but possibly Drake May. Now, that would involve a trade with the New England Patriots, because I don't think either one of us believe that the Commanders are going to move off of number two, and it's probably going to be Jaden Daniels. So, can that, if that is the possibility, can that be pulled off for the Giants to trade up to three and take Drake May as Brian Daboll's new, after being able to work with Josh Allen and getting everything out of him, his new project, the quarterback here in New York?
Well, let's remember one thing, that Rich Eisen is the face of the NFL Network. He is. And that's information that he got most likely, I don't know if that's true or not, but when he was in Indianapolis for the Combine, everybody loves to go to that restaurant there. What's the name of that?
St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
Everybody loves to hang out there. There's usually drinks are flowing.
Oh, yeah. Loose lips.
Everybody's having a few cocktails.
Yeah.
And he obviously, because there's no way in the world Rich Eisen is going on the NFL Network and saying what he said.
He did it on his radio show, not the NFL Network.
Yeah, but still, he's the face of the NFL Network.
Yeah.
And he has access to a lot of different people and knows a lot of different people. So I have no situation where I don't believe what he said. I believe everything he said.
Okay.
And I do believe that it came from somebody within the Giants organization, somebody of significance. It could have been a scout, could have been Brian Daboll, could have been Joe Shane, could have been any one of those people.
John Schmelk.
It could have been any of the Mara family that might have been out there. You never know.
Paul Dottino.
I guess it could have been. But, I mean, this doesn't just happen, because that particular piece of news was significant. And the way that he had delivered it and the way that he had made the Giants sound like totally over Daniel Jones as a real thing. That's a real thing. That's not made up. That's not smoke and mirrors. I believe that is a real story. So that's why now you take what you just said about Jordan Renan and how he covers the Giants, and you put it with what Rich Eisen said. None of this shocks me.
Yeah, now you've got teams out there, three teams, if you're saying that the Giants are in there, and I believe that they are, three teams that are desperate to trade up to either four and hopefully three in their mind. And when I say desperate, I mean desperate, especially the Denver Broncos and the Minnesota Vikings and the Giants. If we're believing that they need to get one of these quarterbacks that love Drake May, then you could put them in the desperation basket as well. So can either one of these teams, either the Broncos, the Vikings, or the Giants, entice the New England Patriots enough to get off number three and their future quarterback when they don't have a quarterback themselves?
The one thing that the Giants do have is they have that sixth pick.
Yep.
And that sixth pick, pick is going to be worth something, especially if New England is targeting another quarterback that they like that is not named Drake May. They may like Drake May as much as they like J.J. McCarthy, as much as they like Michael Penix or Bo Nix.
Yeah.
And those are the guys that they can end up with. So, I think that sixth pick is a much bigger lure, if you will, than what Minnesota has to offer or what Denver has to offer.
Yeah, like Minnesota's got two first-round picks this year.
Yeah, but they're back. They're away from a potential J.J. McCarthy signing. You know, I think the Giants are right in that sweet spot, unless, of course, somebody jumps. In other words, let's say the Giants trade with the Patriots up to number three, and the Patriots have number six, and they're eyeing J.J. McCarthy. There still is a threat that either the Chargers or the Cardinals will trade out with somebody, and they can jump up in front of the Patriots then in that situation.
Yeah. So think about both the Vikings and the Broncos right now, their quarterback rooms. The Vikings have Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins, and Jaren Hall. The Broncos have Jared Stidham, Zach Wilson, and Ben DiNucci. Now, the Giants, they've got Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. And our buddy Tommy Cutlets, they got three guys who have played in the NFL and won games in the NFL. So you feel like they could go into the season, if Daniel Jones were healthy and be a little bit more productive at that position than these other two teams. If I'm Sean Payton or I'm Kevin O'Connell, like, they got to do something to get their hands on a quarterback. You can't go into the season with Jared Stidham, Zach Wilson, and Ben DiNucci, or Sam Darnold, Jaren Hall, and Nick Mullins. You're waving a white flag. Those are two of the worst quarterback rooms we have seen in the last 15 years in the NFL.
Well, the more interesting thing for me is that if the Giants do trade up to go get Drake May, then what happens to Daniel Jones? You can't keep Daniel Jones here with Daniel Drew
Jones.
Lock, and you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have to trade him. You'd have to cut him. If you traded him, you may have to do what, like, the Jets did. You have to add some incentive for somebody to come and take him. There may be somebody out there that really likes him. I don't know. But you would have to sweeten the pot in order to get rid of Daniel Jones. Because if you draft the kid and you trade up to get him in the first round and you put him in that locker room and Daniel Jones is still in there, that's not fair to the kid that you just drafted, and it's certainly, and I'm not saying it should be fair, because I do think you have to be ruthless. It is certainly not fair for Daniel Jones, because all Daniel Jones is going to be answering, and when it comes to questions,
yeah,
it's going to be about this kid that they just traded up to draft. Because the moment you trade up to draft somebody is the moment you're telling the guy that you have, you ain't our guy, and you ain't good enough. And that's why you would have to move on from him. And maybe they have a trade where, you know, they'll trade Daniel Jones, they'll eat half the contract, and maybe they'll add a draft pick from next year or something along the lines of what the Jets did, like I was telling you. In order to trade Zach Wilson, they were going to have to make some concessions, and they would have to add some sort of draft pick, and they would have to eat some of the money. And that's exactly what happened with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and there would be a lot of dead cap money associated with this Daniel Jones contract if they did trade or release him this year. There is the out at the end of this year, but you saw the Denver Broncos set a precedent that you've never seen before with this dead cap money with Russell Wilson. Now, Will the Giants do that? I mean, if they draft a quarterback, you're right. There's only one guy that's going to be going. Well, unfortunately, it'll probably be Tommy DeVito as well. But you didn't bring in Drew Lock to be the third string practice squad quarterback.
You brought in Drew Lock to be your starting quarterback if Daniel Jones is not ready to go. But if you're drafting somebody and you're trading up to get that guy, I mean, just think of it as a human being.
Oh, yeah, okay? He'd have to go. He would have to go.
That's all. Like, you just can't have that in that locker room. You got to have if you're going in a new direction, you're going in a new direction, and that's all there is to it. And Joe Shane right now is in the middle of rebuilding this team. Now, he's done some really good things here this offseason, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they do trade up to go get, like, say, Drake May, if that's the guy, then there has to be other moves made because you can't just have those guys all in the same locker room. Because, you know, you want the team to get behind one player. You know, you don't want them having to, like, have to answer questions about Daniel Jones and things he's done here and all of that stuff. But when I combine what Rich Eisen said now with what Jordan Renan is reporting, I just, Daniel Jones' days here are numbered if, in fact, they are able to pull off the trade. If they can't pull off the trade, then I think they go wide receiver. They have to go wide receiver.
And that's what I think I would prefer at this point if they can't pull off the trade for sure, because then don't trade up to four and get J.J. McCarthy if your heart was set on Drake May. I still think that's the most likely scenario, is that you get Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, 1, 2, 3, and then one of those three teams we mentioned, the Broncos, the Vikings, or the Giants, trade up to four with Arizona and take J.J. McCarthy because they are desperate. That's what I think is probably the most likely scenario.
And for Arizona, who wants a big-time wide receiver, or they're going to want, an offensive lineman, they still are well within the ability to get either Harrison, Neighbors, or Odunze at six.
If it's the Giants.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, if they trade with the Giants.
Yeah, if they trade with the other teams, you're rolling the dice a little bit.
But there are plenty of wide receivers in this draft, and what we have seen over the last 5 or 6 years, there are plenty of wide receivers that are pretty damn good, you know, second, third, and fourth round, and then even some guys who have problems and issues in college that may fall to the seventh round, i.e. Tyreek Hill. You can find these guys. There's plenty of wide receivers out there. They don't have to be these top three. There's probably about 5 or 6 that are going to go in the first round.
Although you do see a lot of these guys hit that are wide receivers at the top of the draft. I mean, from Jamar Chase to Justin Jefferson to Chris Olave. I mean, these guys have hit. So, I mean, it's enticing. It really is enticing.
I mean, there are a couple, like, you know, I've seen a couple of Instagram, you know, fan pages where guys are kind of just thinking about different things. Like, I saw one where Bear fans were talking about the potential of trading the number one overall pick to the Washington Commanders, who end up giving, obviously, the number two pick, and then just a boatload of other stuff because, you know, Caleb Williams is from D.C.
Yeah.
So he would, you know, that would be perfect for the Washington Commanders. And then, you know, the Bears take Jaden Daniels with the number two pick, and then they add even more draft capital. And, you know, you see how Ryan Poles has been doing this. I mean, this has been really, I mean, I'm sure it's been fun, but it's also been, I can't imagine him getting much sleep at night.
Let's go to Joe, who's in Connecticut. What's going on, Joe?
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Why can't the Giants add Daniel Jones to the draft pick to move up? Because, like you said, if you're drafting up for a quarterback, Jones ain't the guy. Just try to get rid of him right then and there.
Yeah, but the point, yeah, I mean, it's easy for us to say that, but who's going to want to trade for him? Especially with his contract, he's got $36 million guaranteed this year. So the only way I think you're able to trade Daniel Jones with an injured knee and a $36 million guaranteed contract is if you eat half the contract and you sweeten the pot with another draft pick. So the other team essentially is buying another draft pick, say, for, what, $18
million. 100% agree. Add him to the draft pick, add like a fourth round, maybe one next year, and like you said, take half the contract.
Right, exactly. Take half the contract, yeah.
Joe in Blairstown, New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. I was, I, that caller right before me just kind of stole my thunder. I was going to say the same thing. I feel if the Giants don't trade Jones in where they are, they're going to just stay there and take a receiver or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, would the New England Patriots be interested in Daniel Jones under that scenario that we just painted of paying half the contract? I mean, and I think the only way that the answer to that is yes is if they believe that they can draft a quarterback that they like somewhere else. Now, it's a different situation if they trade for Daniel Jones and then draft their future quarterback as opposed to the Giants, because Daniel Jones now is just, he's hanging on in a different place. It's not the place he was drafted. You don't have to cut him. The Patriots could draft somebody in addition to Daniel Jones being the starting quarterback up there if that's what they wanted to do.
That means they would have Jacoby Brissett, Daniel Jones, and somebody else.
Which is sort of, that doesn't work either. Because
that's the thing. When you go through all the different scenarios for all the different teams, you know, trading Daniel Jones is going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard unless you sweeten the pot. And, you know, and the only reason you would trade him is if you're grabbing a quarterback.
Yeah.
In the first round. If you're up at number six and you're moving up to number three, or you're staying at number six and it just so happens the guy that you really like fell to you and you end up going, man, do we want Malik Neighbors, or do we want J.J. McCarthy?
Well, you know, my answer to that.
I know your answer to that would be no, you'd want Neighbors.
Yeah, 100%. Every single
time. I'm still going to go on route. You know, I like to go on record here.
Yeah, go on record, please.
It's not a grain in the, what, salt in the grain, or it's grain of salt spot. I'm not doing that.
All right.
I'm going on record because I like to go on record around these kind of things.
Yes, everything you say serves on the record when it's on the air. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes we're fooling around.
Yeah, true. That's
I'm not
right.
I just want to say I'm not fooling around right now.
All right, not fooling around, going on record.
Right. I like Roma Dunze.
I know you've said that many times before.
I love that kid.
Yeah, so Neighbors is my guy. Dunze is your guy. So that means that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be a Hall of Famer.
That's not true.
Well, we'll see.
I remember when we were discussing Jamar Chase and Penny Sewell. And I was like, it's Jamar Chase all the way. The two guys played in college together and put together one of the greatest college seasons we have ever seen between a quarterback and a wide receiver. And as good as Penny Sewell is, and as he turned out to be for the Detroit Lions, why wouldn't the Bengals take Jamar Chase?
Yeah, it certainly has worked out for them. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
I love this type of stuff. I don't know if we've ever talked about my fascination with this 80s pop music from this era. I love this stuff. Like, I had a whole back of the day. When you burn CDs, like, I burned CDs with every sort of electronic, weirdo 80s pop music that you could possibly have. You know, don't turn around. The comments was in town, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. But so this stuff gets me going.
Gets you going, huh?
Yeah, and it probably brings you back to a certain part of your life.
It does.
Where you were probably ripping it up somewhere, yes?
Somewhere, yeah, 100%. Could have been Matthews and Bayshore.
Oh, yeah.
Matthews and Bayshore was ripping and roaring. Hutley's and Islip.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Let's go.
Yeah.
I want to say like 84, that song, 83, 84, Al, somewhere in there.
Let me take a look.
Yeah.
Bordy Barn.
Oh, yeah, Bordy Barn, of course.
Bordy Barn, yep.
82.
All right.
The Talk House out in Amagansett, baby.
Yeah, 82.
I'll be rolling in there this summer.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, definitely.
You see Led Zeppelin?
Oh, love Led Zeppelin.
I know. Yes. You've been... coming out of that Stevens Talk House a little bit inebriated a couple times, right?
Yep. We're coming in hot, boys. Yeah,
coming in hot. Which is a great story. That's what Gunner and Boomer and several others went to Stevens Talk House to see a concert. And Gunner opened the door, escorting his father into the home after a long night. Goes, we're coming in hot.
Yeah, that's what Sydney said. Can we just leave? Well, actually, Sydney didn't say it was Gunner because Sydney's like me. She doesn't want to leave.
Right. Yeah, she got that. She got that gene.
Right. Exactly. Gunner's like, can we just go home, please?
Yeah. All right, Jerry. What's happening, man?
We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog Fresh, human grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. Before we get to the Sal, Stu Gatz, and the Lebatard stuff, and BT Rangers playoff game number 2 last night with the Capitals.
Taken away by Sabanichad, in with Kreider. Sabanichad.
Henrik was exactly right in between periods. He goes, the passing when they are on, especially on their power play, but even this is a shorthanded goal.
Tape to tape.
It is ridiculous how well they pass. And when they are sharp, they are about as sharp as anybody in the league and as deep as anybody in the league. And that was much needed last night. And I got to say, Mika Zibanejad maybe didn't have as many goals as we would have liked. But, man, 200-foot player. Great passer, sees the ice, and he had a great game last night.
Rangers win 4-3. That was Sam Rosen on MSG. Here was their head coach, Peter Laviolette. Good game, but we can do better.
We'll look at things, and in a couple days here, our guys will take a break, but we'll catch them in another day and get back to work and see what we can do to be better.
Igor Shesterkin, 22 saves, and he is lauding the defense in the defensive zone.
They was awesome. I appreciated what they did tonight. So a lot of huge block shots. Lindy a couple times tried to eat the puck. I don't know how he does it.
Well, he was doing it. And then on the opposite side of things, here was Tom Wilson as they go home down 0-2. Just tough game.
Pretty good hockey game. Both teams were battling. It was fast-paced, a lot of, you know, physical, fast playoff hockey. We hung in there. Just, again, a couple moments there where they get a couple goals. And then, you know, it's tough to battle back in this league.
And Al asked me during the warm-up show, 5-6 right here on Fan. What is CeeLo went to the game by himself.
Yeah, I know. I saw this. Yeah.
How about that? That's kind of cool, right?
The problem with the Capitals is that their defense is so beat up. Yeah. You got one guy playing 30 minutes, and CeeLo got to watch him the whole 30 minutes by himself.
You know, and I kind of think a little bit of a misnomer here that CeeLo went to the game by himself. He did have a ticket by himself, but he met up with Hoffman and Sal.
Oh, that's cool.
So they were hanging out.
What was Sal doing there?
Wearing Rangers stuff and rooting for the Rangers.
Right.
The team he grew up loving.
Was Ugot there?
No.
All right, sorry. Don't hold on. Let's play this here so people understand the context as you keep doing that. So we got to take you to the Lebatard and Stu Gatz show. This is the segment where Lebatard tells us, the audience, that a staff member on their program tells him that there's an issue with the guys at the Fan.
He said that we are now feuding with WFAN. Evidently, we said some things when you were close to taking the program director job here recently at WFAN. We said something. You'll have to forgive me. What was the name of the two guys, the two bald guys that Billy was confusing, and he said they were the same guy?
Oh, Sal Licata and Brendan Tierney?
Okay, so then from there, now we know who they are.
And by the way, tonight, he wasn't in line for the program director. He was going to be our brand manager.
That's true.
Could you imagine that?
Now, here's where you see what they're reacting to. They play this clip that I'm going to play for you because this is all from their show. They play the clip of BT and Sal talking about them.
What are those two guys who do the show down in Florida? Lebeturd and Ugats, I think.
Oh, yeah, Ugats.
Oh, yeah, Ugats. Ugats. Lebeturd and Ugats with those guys, like, you know, they're big Heat fan, I think.
Mm-hmm. Are they?
I think. I mean, they're in Miami. Lebeturd, I think, talks about Miami.
Ugats is a Heat fan?
Ugats.
Has he embraced the Heat culture?
Yeah, well, he's from here. He wanted to be here, but he left. He thinks he can come back and whatever, but he can't. He's just not good enough. So, Lebeturd and Ugats, I think that it would have been fun.
All right, so they play that clip, and then Stugats comes back on, and at this point, not interested in the conversation until very quickly he is.
I'm not beefing with Sal. I don't care.
He came at you, Stu, the most there, I think.
I did, but I don't care.
But he's first on the chopping block, right? Like, you're,
he would have
been,
yes.
His job.
Yeah, I might take it again now. I might call him after the show just so I could fire Sal.
Okay. This is stupid. Lebeturd did enjoy the Sal insult.
Referring to someone as a turd at all times is universally funny.
Ugats is weird.
Yeah, that was not.
That's a classic sports radio move, though, where you don't really, you know their names, but you give off like you don't know their names.
I did not know.
I believe
who
Dan.
I did not know who they were.
But he knows who we are.
All right, so it's fair to say at this point, this is all between Stugats, Lebeturd, Sal, and BT.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 100%.
Here they make the point where Sal's just being silly. Okay, fine. And then another name kind of enters into the equation.
He knows very well who you are, and he knows who I am.
Do they know that you wanted to fire them? Are those your list? In a time slot that you would want?
They're in the midday time slot. And no, that's
you don't want
not,
that slot.
Yeah, that's not who I was going to fire. It was Evan Roberts.
I have to admit, when I heard that, I
cracked up. And then, and you watch it, too, the way he delivers it with his hand up. It was Evan Roberts.
So nonchalant. Evan's going.
And then he goes, well, I love Evan. He's doing that whole dog thing. I love you, but you are terrible. You smell, and you're a loser. But I love you, pal. I love you.
Here they are saying, these guys are hilarious, but I am the more popular personality.
Don't know his name, Lebeturd, Ugats, Tierney playing along. Tierney. I mean, please, if I did a remote, okay, if I did an appearance side-by-side against Sal and Brendan Tierney,
Brendan,
by myself, with no promotion except a couple of tweets, I am telling you I would outnumber their promotion by at least 5,000 people.
That's pretty confident right there.
Yeah. Somebody full of themselves.
Well, this is one of those things where I feel like I know when Stugats is messing around and when he's not. In this particular thing, I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
I'm not sure. I know he, in private conversations I've had with him, I know how cocky he can be. But in this situation, I really think it's half and half. I think part of him actually really doesn't care because now this whole program director thing's closed and he's back to his life of playing golf, getting on a boat, watching his daughters play lacrosse, smoking cigarettes, and just doing what he does.
But there's truth here.
But right. But I do think it got to him a little bit where he wanted to flex slightly.
Couple more. He says he had a purpose with trying to be the new PD here.
But I don't want their jobs. I wanted to help them become better at their jobs. That's all.
How about that? And then the last one, Stugats kind of compliments Sal at the end, I guess.
And I really am happy for Sal because he has waited and waited and waited. And then Carton left. And then Tiki went to the afternoons. And there was a spot open in middays. And even though that spot should have went to me, it went to Sal.
See, that's where he's having fun.
Yes.
Right, that's where he's having fun. And then he also, I don't know, you have the clip where this guy is such a shiv slime ball sometimes, though.
Yes.
Where he goes, he's going through all the shows, and he's like, He's like, and I don't want Gio's job, not because I consider us friends, but because he doesn't like mornings.
Yes.
Like he wasn't like, I'm not going to come in and shiv this guy in the back because he's my friend and he's doing a good job. Not that.
Too early.
Just it's too early in the morning for me. That's why I'm not going to shiv him in the back.
Well, you know, it's, the amazing thing is that this is like the second time he's admitted to all of this.
Yeah. Which you give him credit for.
Yeah, I do. I mean, he was honest when he came on with us.
Right.
I mean, look, I knew that he did not really want a 10-hour-a-day job where he had to actually sit in an office and figure out scheduling and dealing with personalities.
He's made it obvious. 2 to 6.
Of course.
I mean, he would have chloroform on a handkerchief so quick. I am telling you, maybe day two.
Oh, I'm pretty funny. So that was that happened yesterday, the day before, whatever. Baseball last night, Yankees beat the A's 4-3, four runs in the first for New York. Giancarlo Stanton, a two-run double. Anthony Rizzo, a two-run homer. Here was Stanton, got to A's starter Paul Blackburn pretty quickly.
We just didn't let him get settled in. After the first, he got settled in a little bit. So we got on him early, and it was the difference maker.
It sure was.
He actually hit a curveball there, or a slider. I'm not sure what it was. Yeah. It looks like a curve, more of a curveball to me.
Either way, he hit it a long way and got the two-run double. Marcus Stroman the win, 5 1/3. Clay Holmes the save. And DJ LeMahieu taken out of a rehab game at Somerset due to soreness in the right foot. I believe it was his first at-bat, so he didn't last all that long. You've got Clark Schmidt tonight on the Fan at 7:05. Yankees and A's in the third of four. Mets fell to the Giants 5-1. Mike Yastrzemski, a couple of hits, a single, a double. He drove in three. Luis Severino, not bad, but Logan Webb, much better. 8 shutout innings for the win. So the Mets have dropped 3 in a row. Sean Manaea this afternoon against Blake Snell on WCBS 880 at 3:45. To the NBA we go. Mavericks, Clippers in L.A. Game 2.
Doncic, 5 to shoot. Against Harden. Doncic lines it up.
And that is Ian Eagle talking about Doncic on TNT. He had 32. Mavs with the 96-93 win over the Clippers. Here was Kyrie Irving. He had 23 on Bally Sports Southwest. How his experience is helping this team along.
Just staying poised and understanding that mistakes are going to happen, and it's a playoff game. It's going to be a low-scoring game most times, and just got to be able to have that resiliency and keep battling to the end.
Keep battling until the end. That series tied 1-1 going to Dallas. The Pacers beat the Bucks 125-108. So that series tied 1-1 as the Indiana offense came to play. Pascal Siakam at 37, and the T-Wolves beat the Suns 105-93. Phoenix heading home down 0-2. Tyrese Maxey was a guest on TNT. Last hour, we played the Shaq clip of talking about the NBA, saying that they missed a couple of calls in the final minute of the Knicks-Sixer game that would have gone against the Knicks. So Maxey was asked at the end of his conversation with Ernie Johnson, was asked about what the NBA admitted to missing. And he wouldn't take the bait. He wasn't interested. He said, essentially, no excuses.
I got to be strong with the ball. I can't. I mean, I got to be able to, like, when I get on the floor, I got to be able to hug it and call a timeout. But, I mean, it is what it is. Like, it happened. We got to let it go. I mean, you can't dwell on it now. If we dwell on it, then, you know, in a couple of days, we'll be down 0-3.
And that was a very mature answer.
Yeah, you know, listen, that's a professional answering a professional, you know, like a professional. Like you got to just appreciate that.
Yeah, no doubt. And we were talking this morning, too. I thought before the series, whether it was 1-1, 2-0, 0-2, that I thought it'd be hard for the Knicks fan to take over Philly. Secondary ticket prices, only $90.
Really?
For game 3, yes. And okay. I say that because it's a playoff game, and I can't imagine tickets were less than $400 or $500 for the Garden. $90 to go to Philly for a playoff game?
Wow. You're Big Zoo. I think you take that bike and you ride down there for this game. You know,
why not? So pretty wild. Next hour, Jerry Jones, Mike Tomlin, and a couple of other different things NFL related.
So this just jarred all that Stugat Sal stuff, jarred my memory. And I think back in like 2006, when Sal was trying to get on the air, Stugatz was still the program director of WQAM in Miami. Okay. 790 The Ticket. 790 The Ticket. And Sid Rosenberg was down there.
Doing mornings, right?
Or afternoons, whatever it was.
Where's he now?
And I'm pretty sure that Stugatz, as the PD, ended up giving Sal a weekend show down there at that radio station. If my memory serves me correct.
Oh, that would be a good.
That's wouldn't
a good
that? Isn't that like a full circle thing? 20 years later,
yeah, sure that's is. A good poll by you. If you're right,
I'm
well, Sal did do shows via like the Comrex in Florida for
yeah,
sure.
And I think Stu Gotz was the PD, and it was like $7.90 the ticket. And I am almost positive about that.
You might be very right about that. And while I know a lot of that was fun, you can tell they do like each other.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah. No, I think so. It is funny though because I do think. You know, Lebatard at this point in his career, I mean, he gets worked up about certain political things, but like stuff like this, like he really could not give two craps about. It's just like he's just laughing. Someone's calling him a turd. He's like, that's actually pretty funny. I really don't know who those guys are and whatever. Like he's really does gotten not. To that
well,
point.
He basically said that people have been calling him a turd since he was in grade school.
Yes, right. But like there's the
so,
people.
I mean, that's not good.
But there's like the Stu Gotz, like, I don't care. Come on, Sal. I don't care. And then goes into 15 minutes about why he cares. And then there's Lebatard, who's like, you could tell he really doesn't care. Like, let's just chew some clock for 6 minutes with this stupid audio. But I am not offended by anything that's going on here.
Pretty much.
All right. Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Yeah, here's another one. Toto Africa. This was definitely on my 80s mixtape at the time. Our house, dun dun, in the middle of us. There was another one. Wang Chung, Everybody Have Fun Today. That was a little bit later, but I was a fan of that one.
You're a big Wang Chung guy?
I did like that song. I think it got a bad rap, but that was a little bit later.
How many songs did they actually do?
Wang Chung?
Yes.
I'm sure a lot. How many were popular? Probably just the one. I don't think there was a second Wang Chung song that hit the charts.
Actually, there was.
There was?
Do you know this Wang Chung song?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Dance Hall Days.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Boomer and Gia, where we're playing Do You Know This Wang Chung Song? All right. On 101.9 FM, Wang Chung. Everybody's had fun today. Everybody's fun this morning because the Rangers won. Ah! Oh, I hit the post. Oh, man. I missed my calling as an 80s music DJ.
That's
what
Wang.
I should have been doing.
Wang.
Is that what Father Zachary does?
Wang. Oh, Zach Martin?
Yeah.
He does the rock music back there. Yeah. He's actually very good at that.
He is very good at
that. Yeah, he's got that rock DJ thing going on. Wang.
That would have been a fun time to be.
That's Jerry Recco saying Wang over and over again, which is funny. I do acknowledge that. But Wang.
Like an 80s pop music DJ, like all those guys that were around, like partying, playing these songs. Doing drugs.
And you would actually have the performers coming into your studio to get interviewed.
Yeah, stuff like
that. They really cared about the radio audience.
Wang.
Do you think, and I do you think?
How do you get to speak in that one last
I know,
Wang
I know.
With the music, the music stop?
Do you think that the performers these days don't really care much about the radio because of all the digital downloads and all the places you can find the songs?
Depends what genre, because country music still has a very strong relationship with radio. If you see any of these award shows, everyone thanks country radio.
And it's still a big thing. Now, there's like, you know, there's a satellite channel. Of course, there's Spotify and all those things that have country music. But I do think that the country radio music station is still a very big deal because there's also some markets that they're not going, just the radio station being on in the truck while they're doing work is like the thing that's still going on for years and years and years. So I think when it comes to pop music, music radio isn't what it was and have the strength that it was, but I think we kind of knew
country,
that.
But for country radio.
I think it does. Yeah, I think country radio still got a... By the way, Katie Neal, who was the midday person here at our country station before they before Olivero blew it up, it was a 94.7, right? It was at the country station. So she was named the ACM Country Music Media Personality of the Year.
Oh, nice.
The American Country Music Awards.
She was great, man.
The Media Person of the Year.
Where is she now? She had a Nashville
down in Nashville, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Down in Nashville. So I was saw that on Instagram yesterday. She still works for Odyssey.
She got out of this hell hole and went down there.
You're talking about New York City as a whole, not Odyssey, New York, because we live in a Shangri-La here.
Oh, yeah, with Shangri-La.
I mean, it is awesome. Where we are, we got the Bangladesh call center, we've got the milking room, we've got the break, Steve Summers break room, we've got everything here at Odyssey New York. All right, so you said earlier that you waited 20 years to get a Guy Fieri knife, and that was the Super Bowl down in Houston?
I believe it was the Super Bowl in Houston because we did do a 4-hour pregame show like we always would do.
And that was the Janet Jackson Super Bowl.
That was, yeah, Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, Nipplegate, the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But it was also Guy Fieri, I believe, was in our pregame show. And that's when he was pushing his knives. And I forget what the heck we were slicing and dicing. But I'd never gotten the knife that he told me he was going to send me.
Yeah, so you did get it in the mail, and the man who sent it to you is on the phone, Scott in Connecticut. What's going on, Scott? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, Boomer?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thanks for sending the Guy Fieri knife, and thanks for having it etched with my name and my happy birthday. But, you know, does Guy know that I finally got the knife that he promised me 20 years ago?
Yeah, you know, we sent that out 20 years ago, but, you know, the mail service is really horrendous. Did you get the dust off of that or what?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a great-looking knife, and I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you very much. And use that thing and slice up whatever barbecue you got going on, steaks, briskets, whatever. Enjoy that thing, and we want to just wish you a happy birthday and keep doing what you're doing.
All right, man. I appreciate that, Scott. Tell Guy I said I appreciate
it.
Yeah,
Guy Fieri as well.
Right.
So this is a burning question on a lot of people's minds these days, and that's Kevin in Yonkers joins us. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, hi, guys. Listen, hey. Boomer, you've been in broadcasting for a long, long time. Any reason why they just automatically got rid of John Sterling?
Yeah, we don't like him anymore. We just want to get rid of him. That's all. I mean, why? Listen, how much longer are we going to have this go on for?
I mean, you didn't read the article about how Susan pushed him out and she had enough and wanted the spotlight to be on her finally?
No, I did not.
Yeah,
and how Aaron Boone was getting tired of it, and Randy Levine was getting tired of it, and Lon Trost was getting tired of it.
It was essentially a mutiny.
Enough is enough.
That's very unfair, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. We did not co-sign any of this.
We're on John's side. That's why we always play his calls. That's why we always try to determine what his home run calls are going to be like. We love
it's a cutthroat business, Kevin.
That's a shame. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
All right. See you, Kev.
Man, oh man. And for people who might be in the same mindset as Kevin there, John retired on his own. He wanted to stop broadcasting. I think most people understand that.
You know, if you don't get it, I don't care. It doesn't matter. We love John. They gave him a beautiful day. Hopefully, I think it's a John Sterling booth now, I think.
It has to be.
I think it should be. And by the way, you know, Mel Allen is out there in Monument Park.
Is he?
And who did more games than Mel Allen?
They put Mel Allen in Monument Park?
I believe this is what Olivero was telling me
the other day.
So I'm going by him.
Mel Allen.
As a Yankee fan and somebody who understands more history about the Yankees than I do.
That?
And I just said, I thought it was very nice what you guys did for John, and the way the Yankees did it was really, it was a very nice ceremony. And the fans were great. They were all into it. And I said, do you think they're going to put something out there in Monument Park for him?
Yeah, there it is. Mel Allen, voice of the Yankees, 1939 to 1964.
Oh, that's a long time. How many games?
Doesn't say.
Doesn't say how many games.
Doesn't say.
No.
I don't know. You would think that maybe you'd do something for John.
But that's a lot less years than John was there.
That's my point.
Hey, I didn't know they put broadcasters out there. Now that I know that, he should be out there.
That's a comparison for you. See, this is the kind of thing that I'm in tune.
You're in tune with.
Thank you.
Because you know why? Because I've been in broadcasting a long time.
A very long time.
Very long time.
Very, very long time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.